Yes, Father, we come tonight with a hunger in our hearts, with an expectation to meet with you. Expectation, Lord, to come into your throne room tonight, to see your word, to receive your word. I pray for every heart here tonight, Lord, every heart to be excited to hear the word of God. Thank you that you are King in this place, that you are Lord in this place, and that we submit under your word tonight. We submit under your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just give somebody a high five and a hug. Tell them Jesus loves you. And then you ask him, do you believe that? And then you say again, Jesus loves you. Thank you, band, for the worship. Okay, my name is Jacobus. For those who do not know me, I'm Jacobus, and it's really an awesome privilege for me tonight to just share the word with us. Sure, somebody really receives that Jesus loves them. I'm glad. That's good. Good news. Okay. Yo, who's excited to be here tonight? I'm really excited. I'm excited just to share tonight on the word about who Jesus is. I'm just going to show you guys tonight who is Jesus. And my prayer tonight is that you will just fall more in love with him and that you will just want more of him when you go out of these doors. If that's all that I can do tonight, then that's great. I just want you to see Jesus and have a much hunger and a desire to know him more. Okay, so before we start tonight's sermon, I'm really going to share just from my life a lot tonight and the journey I've been on. And I've been on a hectic journey these couple of months and from the end of last year, and really struggling with many issues that I thought, oh, I have dealt it and I'm over it. But in this time, it was as if the Lord came to remove everything and he came to teach me from the beginning. From, here's nog graad 1, dit is hoe jy lees, A, B. Hulle het mos dit gesê. So I felt like the Lord really teaching me. You didn't say A, B, C, and graad 1 het jy mos gesê, A, B, C, B, O. Ek vind al terug in graad 1 toe, ook. But yeah, it was just it's an amazing journey I've been on, and I'm just excited that I can share a little bit of what the Lord came and teach me. So, look at that picture. Ek het jou nie gevra nie, is okay. Okay, guys, I wanna ask us tonight, what do you think is the difference between knowing someone and knowing about someone? There's a difference. Who agrees with me that there's a difference if you know someone and you know about someone? Now, I can tell you lots of things about that guy on the picture that you will know about him. I can tell you he was born on the 12th October, 1993. Okay? He comes from Ermelo. He has two brothers. He drives a polo. He does CrossFit. He likes to eat. He likes to watch movies. He's single. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He studies medicine. He likes coffee. His mother works at the school. Am I right? I can go on and on and on and tell you all of these things. And maybe afterwards, after the service, you'll meet him up there. Anyways, if you don't know, he's in church, yeah? His name is Aaron Skuman Fetty. There he is. But you can go after the service to him and you can say, hey, so what does your brothers do? And can I get a nice drive with you in your polo after church? Or can I go with you to CrossFit one day in the week? And then you will think, oh, I know him because I've just heard lots of things about him. So now he can be my friend. But that doesn't mean that you really know him. You know about him. Now, psychologists say that there's a difference between of, you cannot say you know someone if you only know about someone. That doesn't say that you know him. Okay. If I want to know Fetty, what what we must do then is you need to invite him to your house and he needs to share those private things in his heart, in his life. Those secrets that he has in his life. Those moments in his life that you cannot see on Facebook or you cannot see, from the outside. That things in his heart. Then you can say, I know him. Okay. And today, sad to say, but there's many Christians today that say they know Christ and they know Jesus. They go to church. They do all the great things that Christians do. But if you take them away from, if you look into their heart, if you go into the inner room where the doors are closed, then you're not really sure if they really know Christ. My heart tonight is for us to really come to that place to say, Lord, yes, I want to know you. That we don't only know about Christ, but that we know him. Okay, because in Bloemfontein for me, I really like to evangelize. And it's so difficult to evangelize in Bloemfontein because everybody where I go, they tell me, no, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. I go to church on Sundays. But then I just say, Lord, but just show me what can I ask differently? Because they say they know about you. And then in Bloemfontein, we see that many people have an impersonal relationship with Christ and not a personal relationship. And Christ calls us, he's pulling you, he's calling you to have a personal relationship with him, not an impersonal, superficial relationship. Okay, because we can easily do that. And I've done it many years. And I'm just said, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of just having an impersonal relationship with you. I want a personal relationship with you. Why do you say that? Because if we know Christ, if we know Jesus, people say if you spend lots of time with your friends, you will eventually become like them. Do you agree? You know those groups in the school? And maybe they are the computer people. And then if you have... you spend lots of time with them, then you also become like them. And therefore, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we also see that if I'm going to spend a lot of time with Jesus, what will happen? I'll become like him. Yes, that's great. That's good news. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's good news. So, if you spend a lot of time with... if you spend a lot of time with, who's funny, I don't know, Trevor Noah, then you'll eventually start to be also like him. That's the same principle. It's not difficult. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a promise here. We are being transformed by glory to glory. From one step to another step, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. For that to happen, we need to spend time with Jesus. Otherwise, nothing will be transformed in our lives and we will just stay who we are. I just said from my side, I really want to be honest tonight with you guys and just say that I've neglected spending time with Christ. And I'm in the ministry, I work for the church. And I'm just honest tonight that I've really neglected my personal time with Jesus. And I've tried to run again to all of those places that I tried usually before I really was with the Lord. There was many things that I've done to try and to receive fulfillment, to try to get satisfaction, to get affirmation, approval, blah, blah, blah. You know the list. I've run back to all of those places. And I had to stop. And say, Lord, if I continue going on like this, I'm going to lose my salvation. I really felt like I've lost, almost in a sense, my salvation. You cannot lose it, okay? But I felt like that. Just good news for you tonight. Because nothing can separate us from his love. But I felt like that. I felt like, yo, what's going on in my life? Something is not right. And I need to come back. And the Lord, I literally had to come back to the place of saying, Lord Jesus, I don't even know how to be in this place. I don't even know, sometimes I forgot just how to open my Bible, how to read the Word of God, how to pray, because it's become such a habitual thing in my life. And then I want us to open our Bibles in John chapter 4. If you have your Bible here, please open it. We're going to read a big portion in John chapter 4. And there we see Jesus also coming to this woman at the well. We know the story very well, but something really struck me this time that I've read it. Are you there? John is in the New Testament. It's the fourth book. Okay, let's go. Read with me. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself had not baptized but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and well, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Then we're just going to skip until verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Amen. This is really an amazing passage in Scripture, but what I just want to give us some background on is, in those days, the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not like each other. So they weren't friends. Okay? They were rivals, and if a Jewish person wanted to go to Galilee, he needed to pass through Samaria, but they always took a road around. They didn't go through it. They took a road around, but Jesus said, no, he's going to go through to Samaria, so that he doesn't want to take the road that goes around the city. And here we see a woman that went in the hottest time of the day, she went to the well to draw water. Now that is very odd, because usually in those days, women will get up early in the morning, and then they will go to the well, and then they will draw the water. So I imagine they all have, maybe say they have their gym clothes on, and they're talking about the kids, and they just came back from aerobics or water aerobics, and they're just like chilling around the well and chatting to each other, and what are you going to make for lunch? I don't know what woman talks about. But this woman, no, like mothers talk most on stuff like that. Yes. Shanta told me the one day she was jogging with lots of mothers and they just talk about their kids. That's all they do, ne? And what the one can do, the sport they play, and my child can do this. So I just imagine them chilling around the well and they're just talking about life and everything. And, but this poor little lady, she wasn't there. She was on her own. In the middle of the afternoon, she came to draw her water for her house. And then you can see, obviously, something is not right in her life. Why will she come alone to the well when all the other women comes in the morning? And then Jesus comes, like, boom, into that place, the reason why she's alone at the well. And that reason is because she's been rejected by all the women. All the women pushes her outside of their circle. Why? Because she has five husbands. And the one she has now isn't even her husband. So you can imagine this poor woman sitting at this well with so much hurt in her heart, so much rejection, so much fear, so much anxiety, hopelessness. Yes, she's alone. She's sitting at this well. And Jesus didn't tiptoe around her sin. He came exactly into her heart and say, go call your husband. Why? Because Jesus is after that place in our heart that he knows we are hiding from other people. He's after that place in our heart that is so a secret for other people, because he knows if he can heal that place in your life, then you will run back to your village. You will run back to your residence and you will testify and you'll say, look what Jesus has done. Look, I testify about the man who knew everything that I've done. And the moment she ran back, she didn't went back into that village, the same poor little lady full of fear and rejection. No, she was emboldened by confidence. She was emboldened by a boldness to preach the gospel to the people in that village because Jesus touched her. He touched the heart. He took away that hurt. He took away that rejection in a moment at the well. Yo, isn't that amazing? Okay, amen. Thank you, Allah. Bye. I just pray, Lord, come. And that's the thing. Jesus is calling us tonight. If we don't come to him and allow him to come to us, speak to our hearts, change our hearts, he will walk with all the shame and guilt and fear and rejection in our life. He's the one that wants to heal it. And he's the one that's after it. He wants to get into our hearts. And in my life, I've missed that place of running to Jesus. There was other things that I've tried to fill my life. We all know, we've all heard about this. You fill your life with other things except Christ. And the thing that broke my heart, what I just experienced is every time Jesus just told me, every time Jacobus, you run to something else than me, you break our intimacy. Every time that you satisfy yourself with something else than me, than the Word of God, intimacy is broken, and that breaks his heart. That breaks Jesus' heart when we go and to different places, when we run to people, when we run to PlayStation, when we run to food, when we run to shopping, all the girls. That breaks Jesus' heart because he says, come to me and you will receive what? Living waters. And that living waters will become into you a well that will burst open, a fountain that will burst open. So this place that we can, what we see is it's a place where we hide. It's a place where we try to run and get other things in our life except Christ, except Jesus. And you know what is in your life, that thing maybe that you used to go to television, series, movies. That place where you go when you feel a bit sad or a bit rejected or just a bit off that day. You don't go to Christ. You don't go to Jesus. Tonight I believe Jesus wants to change that. He wants to stop. He wants to block every well that is not his. He wants to block everything that tries to steal his intimacy with you so that you will come to that place we can know Him. Don't you want that also tonight? Amen? Why? Why do I say that? Because I've just discovered that in Christ, yes guys, in Christ, we have everything that we need. We have everything that we need. There's nothing that we want, that we can go after, that we cannot find in Christ. And I've went and looked at, in John, Jesus says 7 times, He says, I am, I am, and I am. And this was something that the Lord just brought up the whole time in this journey of me just discovering, of coming back to the place, coming back to that well. The Lord just brought the whole time in my worship, in my quiet time, He will just bring back me to that place of, but He is. What do you need? Because I give that. What is your desires? Because I am. I am wants to provide. I am wants to satisfy. The first one, He says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus says, if you hunger, if you thirst, don't go to other places. Go to Him. He will satisfy you. He will fill you. He will take away the thirst in your life. Go to Him. He is the final word from the mouth of God. The ultimate satisfaction for all people. It is Jesus. In the Old Testament, this word came into full fulfillment because in the Old Testament, while the Israelites were in the desert, they did not have food, and God had to provide every day. God poured out manna from heaven. And they were just allowed to go and pick up enough for that day. And if they picked up more than, if they, let's say there was one loaf, and the one guy picked up 2 loaves, all of those loaves will rotten immediately. They were just allowed to pick up that was important for that day, that they need for that day. Jesus says, come to me every day, come to me, come eat from me. Come, let me fill you, let me satisfy you. I want to take away that hunger. Jesus said that I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Everybody says Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus came from the Father. He came to this earth to be revealed for us, to reveal to the world that He is the Son of God. He came to reveal the heart of the Father. And in Him that is the light of the world, we see who we are. Because if what does light do? Light shines on, if there's no light in its darkness. So Jesus came to shine on our sin. He came to shine on our wickedness, on our evil hearts, so that we can see what we need. So that we can see that we need the cross, that we need Him. We need His grace in our lives. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Yo, isn't that amazing that Jesus is the door? We go through Jesus into the presence of God. Through Jesus, we walk into the presence of God like a door that you open and you go in to the presence of God. How did Jesus accomplish that? By dying on the cross, by being the sacrifice. There was a price paid for every one of us here tonight so that we can enter into the presence of God. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd. If we run to the I am that says he's the shepherd, he will shepherd our life. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd walks with his cattle or with his sheep every day. And he walks with them and he looks that they have food. He looks that they have water to drink. He protects them from the wolves and the dangerous animals. He protects them from that. But the most important thing that I believe in this is that we can hear. God, He is our shepherd and we can hear His voice. If we are His sons and His daughters, we can hear His voice. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. This is awesome. That Jesus says, He is the resurrection and the life. That means that when we die one day, we will not remain here. We will not go to hell, but we will be resurrected. We will receive Him, and we will receive the glory of going to heaven with Him. That is who Jesus is. He is that I am. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. The last one from the seven is that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In this, we see that when we are in the vine, and that speaks about being in Christ, what happens? We produce fruit. Fruit comes out of our lives. Good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, gladness, long-suffering, patience, peace. That fruit flows out of our lives. But what must we do? We must be in the vine. In the vine. Can you see that if I go through all of these seven I am's, that if we have Jesus, we have everything that we need? Do you agree with me? Who agrees with me? Can you see that He is the I am, and that if we need, we just go to the I am? If we are thirsty, we go to the I am that says, I am the bread of life. If we need direction, we go to Him that is the light of this world to show us the way we need to go. We can go to Jesus with everything that we need. But we need to have a hunger for Him, a hunger to spend time in His presence. Just a point on the true vine, something this week, just that stood out for me. I had a meeting with somebody, and before the meeting I prayed, and the Lord showed me just a picture of this person blowing her hair, and she was trying to blow her hair dry. But the hairdryer was not plugged in to the power, okay? So, she couldn't blow her hair. Dit wil nie droog geword het nie. It couldn't get dry because the thing didn't work. And that simple principle, the Holy Spirit just came to speak to me. So simple as that. If I want this hairdryer to work, I need to plug it in. And then it will work. If I want this projector to work, then it must be plugged in. If it's not plugged in, then it won't work. And we are made for that. We are made like that, to be plugged in. To be plugged into Christ so that we can function, so that we can work. Because if we're not plugged into Christ, then that vine, that fruit will not come in our lives. We can try to make it. We can try to work it up, to do cool stuff. But it won't come. Because just being plugged in. And how do we get plugged in? We need to have a desire. It starts with a desire in our hearts. If we have a desire to be like Christ, if we have a desire to spend time with Him, all of these things will happen in our lives. I just want to look at the life of Paul. Now, Paul, he was a very amazing person, and he knew everything in the scriptures. If he was here today, I would say he was like he would have many degrees in theology and masters and doctorates, and he will be a professor. Okay? So he said, if there was one thing, if I can take away all my degrees and all my achievements, I count that as rubbish. In order for one thing, and that is in Philippians 3 verse 10, he said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. This was the key for Paul's life. This was the key for his ministry, that he know Christ. Just imagine, I just think when Paul woke up every morning from his bed, he would say, Lord Jesus, I want to know You. Lord Jesus, I want to spend time with You. Just think, how was Paul's prayer life? Just imagine what happened in his prayer life when he was alone with God, when he was alone in His presence, in the secret room. And I've read a book of Smith Wigglesworth, and he said, now, Smith Wigglesworth was like, they call him the father of faith. He had lots of faith. He prayed for so many people that that they were dead and then they raised the one testimony of a woman. She died for 2 days and he came to her house and he picked her up against the wall like this and he said, "Be alive in Jesus' name." And then he will let her go and then she'll fall on the floor. Then he picked her up again. "Be alive in Jesus' name." And they will let her go and then she fell on the floor again. 7 times he prayed and then the 7th time she stood awake and she was alive again. And he really had massive faith. He would like, if people had cancer in their bodies, he will slam them there where the cancer is and says, "I rebuke this cancer." And then the people will really get healed. So he was quite, but he said one thing. He said, if he knows, he never compromised on his time with God. He said he will not walk out of his room or out of his house if he did not spend time with God. If he did not spend time with him. And he said if he knew his day was going to be better and busier, he would spend more time with God. Wake up earlier so that he can spend time with God. And we all have desires in our life, nay? Like we are willing, some of us are really willing to do whatever it costs to get to that goal in our life. Maybe it's for you to get lots of money one day. And you're willing to do whatever it may be to receive that goal. What is your desire? What is it for you today? What are you willing to do? Because it doesn't just fall on your lap. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice to spend time with God? Ne? Maybe you must wake up at 5 a.m. in the mornings, 5 o'clock, or maybe you must give up Facebook, or those things, those stuff that steals time that you can have with God. What is that in your life? And if you say to me tonight, "Jacobus, I really want more of Jesus in my life," then my question is tonight, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up so that you can know Christ more, that you can grow closer to Him? Because we need to do that. If I want to, and it's just stuff that question that my heart, because I had to ask myself that also. See, if I want to get thin, then I eat right, né? And I exercise every day. It's stuff that I don't like to do. But I'm doing it because I want to reach a goal. And that goal is to, let's say, lose 10 kilograms or 20 kilograms. So I do physically stuff. And then I just said, "Lord, but why is it so difficult for me in my spiritual life to do also those same things, to give up stuff?" Because we are so comfortable. We are so comfortable when it comes to Christianity. And I just spoke to myself in this area also. I'm just so comfortable. Oh, I just snooze. I just quickly read the Bible. But praise the Lord, He's come to change that in my life. He came to change that in my life where I can't leave my room in the mornings. I just want to spend more time with Jesus. I just want to spend more time in His presence. Just sit there at His feet and just say, "Lord, it's so wonderful just to be in this place." When I was in grade 10, I had a big room in the house, and the one half of the room, I took linen and sheets, and I nailed it against the ceiling, and I made myself a prayer room. So I took lots of scriptures out of the Bible and cool stuff, and I pinned it on the sheets, and there was a wall that I wrote on many prayer requests and nations that I'm praying for. And I just remember that was the times in my life that I had the most precious time with Christ. The times that I'll never exchange, where hours just passed, where I just spent time in His Word, where I just spent time knowing Him, getting closer to Him. And that was some of the best times that I have in my life, the best moments, memories. And in Matthew 6, verse 6, we see here how Jesus teaches us to pray. And He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, who of you have seen the movie War Room? War Room. Okay, quite a few. Okay, that's really a great movie if you want to go and buy it at Goom. It's really awesome. But in this movie, it's about this family and or this one woman and her family, her family isn't. There's conflict in the family, and the husband is doing lots of stuff. And she's a real estate agent, and she went to this one house where she wanted to auction, do the stuff so they can sell the house. And then, this lady there at the house, she was very old, Miss Clara, and she told her, okay, this is my third best room in the house, and this was a sitting room. And she asked her, what do you do in this room? No, I just sit. And then she went to this room. This is my second best room, and it was a dining room. And eventually she asked, but what is your best room in the house? And she went up into the stairs to her room, and she opened the closet, and she said, this is my best room in the house. And that was a prayer room, and she called it the war room, because she realized that it's time to start fighting, not in the physical, because every time she fought against her husband, it was a losing battle. And the Lord told her, it's time that you fight in the spirit, that you start fighting with prayer. And in this room was just lots of prayers around the walls and everything. And it was just amazing how this old lady taught this younger woman now, because she had the same problems. And then eventually the Lord just came through for their family. And it's really a great movie. Go and watch it. And then at the end of the movie, this house was sold. And then there was new people coming to look at the house. And then this pastor, it was a pastor, he went into the room and he opened the closet and walked into the room and he walked outside of the room. And he walked into the room. And he walked outside of the room. And he looked at his wife. And he says, somebody was praying in this room. I can see, I can feel it. And then this lady, she said, yes, this was the lady's prayer room. This was a prayer closet where she prayed in. And he said, we're going to buy this house. This is our house. And then they bought this house. And he said, like, it felt like somebody was baking in this room. It smelled like somebody was baking in this room. And I want to challenge us tonight. Let's also get that in our lives. Let's get a place in our lives. It can be a small wall, a piece on your wall, where you just start putting prayer names of people you are praying, countries you are praying. Go and get a map. Sias always says, go and get a map and put it there next to your toilet. And every time you sit on the toilet, you pray for the countries. You lay your hands on North Korea and you say, in Jesus' name, North Korea will open for the gospel. Go and do practical things. Start praying. Start giving when you are praying. Because something in my life that I'm just so glad that the Lord just changed was every time that I've went to pray, every time that I've started reading Bible and I've started praying, it will be about myself. It says, oh Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me, I've done this wrong again. Lord, look here, for I repent, Lord. It's just about myself. And that was just so, that hindered me from stepping into my secret room, because I just had to deal with all my bad things in my life. And then the Lord just changed the way that I started praying. And I started praying for other people. And I don't even pray for myself anymore. I pray for you. I pray for this church. I pray for the campus. I pray for nations. And that's just awesome when you start giving outwardly in your prayers. So for a week or so, I want to challenge you. Stop praying for yourself. Stop praying for your sins. But start getting into the habit of praying for other people. Praying for nations. Praying for your mother. Praying for your family. That you will do that. Is that a deal? Can we do that? Yes. Let's get that war rooms ready in our houses. Then I want to end off tonight. Just conclusion. A couple of weeks ago. So this is stuff that the Lord has really been showing me. And I hope really that this blesses you guys. That this is a place I won't exchange this time that I spend with God for anything else at the moment. My times with Jesus, I'm even more hungry. Just more hungry to be in His presence. More hungry to spend time with Him. And a couple of weeks ago, I was praying and the Lord just showed me a vision of lots of us being at this. We are preparing for a party, a birthday party. And at this venue, we are busy putting up lots of tables and chairs and cake and cool drink and lots of streamers and lots of, you name it. Everything was there, from the hats until the stuff you blow. Everything was there. And we were preparing for this birthday party because this is going to be the best birthday party. And there was big windows on the one side of this house. And as I looked, many people were walking past this place, almost wanting to come in. But we were so busy preparing with everything that we've missed the people and they just walked past us. And then after a while, Jesus came into this room. And the moment he came into the room, we were all standing like ready. Yes, Lord, look. Look, Lord, what we've done. Look at the tables. Look at the Mickey Mouse cake. Look at the streamers. Isn't it great? Isn't this beautiful? And then the Lord just came and he walked right in front of us. And he just said, I'm not pleased with what you are doing. I want you. I'm not interested in all the works that you are doing. I just want to spend time with you. And then the moment he came and stood in front of us, all of that stuff just fell. The tables fell, the cake fell, everything fell on the floor. And I was immediately reminded of the story where Jesus came to visit Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. And he said, now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Guys, Jesus is calling us to come and sit at his feet. He's calling us to come into that quiet place, into that secret room, to sit at his feet. Won't you stand with me tonight? When we come to this place of just sitting at his feet, there's a promise. There's two promises. The one is, if we look back at the life of the Samaritan woman, when she spent time with Jesus, he came to change her life completely. And she ran back into the village. She ran back into a city. And she testified about his goodness. And she testified about the miracle of Jesus coming to know everything in her life. Everything that she's ever done. That happens when we come to that secret room. And when we come to seek Jesus. When we come to seek the I Am. Not seeking other people's affirmation and other people's nice WhatsApp messages and Facebook wall posts. All of that stuff. But when we come to seek what Jesus tells us. And what he speaks over our lives. Then transformation happens and we get transformed into the image of the Son of God, the I Am. My heart for us tonight is that we, everyone here, will be transformed into the I Am, into who Jesus is. Stop worrying, stop looking for that, for all of those other stuff. Stop trying to fill your life with food and clothes and whatever it may be, achievements and great marks, whatever you feel gives you purpose in life, and that is not Jesus. Because Jesus is the I Am, and he wants to do that. He wants to come into your life. He wants to write on your wall on Facebook. And he came to do it on the cross, where he gave his life. And I'm discovering in my life something that is so precious, something that I won't exchange for anything in this world. And that is the presence of God. That is the presence of Jesus. His presence is heaven to me. His presence is all that I need and it's all that I want. I'm rid. I can really say tonight that I've been rid and the Lord has delivered me from every other thing. I've ran around in my life so many times searching for approval of men. just say, oh, Jacobus, you are so great. Jacobus, you are so good. Yes, Jacobus, you preach so wonderful. I'm rid from that because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords speaks into my life. And He tells me who I am. And He is well pleased with who I am. I had a massive thing with rejection in my life. A massive struggle with rejection. People so afraid that they will reject me. Just push me aside. The Lord came to heal that. Because He never leaves me and He never forsakes me. And I could find that identity. I could find that destiny in Jesus, in the I Am. Jeremiah 29 verse 9-13 says, then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. What desire is there in your heart tonight? Do you have a desire to search God with all your heart? To seek God with everything that you have?